We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney, a lawyer, a barrister extraordinaire from Chestnut Cambrone, and he is the man who introduced me to a new term today. It's a term used when someone takes off their mask and wants you to think that they're fully vaccinated, because if you're fully vaccinated, the CDC says you don't need a mask. And that term, Jeff, is?
Well, just to be clear, it's someone that isn't vaccinated, but identifies as being vaccinated.
Excuse me.
Got to get the nomenclature down correctly.
That's the key.
And the term that I've heard is transvaxite.
You're a transvaxite.
This one started coming. I started seeing this on my social media feed on Friday, and I guess this says something about my friends. But yeah, so apparently a transvaxite is someone who is not vaccinated but identifies as vaccinated, which means they're taking the masks off and walking into stores.
This is really funny. I was in a few stores yesterday, including a Target, and I've been fully vaccinated. I'm maxinated, and I know I saw a lot of transvaxites, and I know that because there's no way all these people and all their kids are vaccinated. You know, that the way they're walking through the stores. Because for most of them, when they would have been eligible to be vaccinated is only a week or two ago. And I know the Johnson & Johnson isn't that available anymore. So they're just ripping them off and not caring. And I go in the store too, because I'm thinking about other people. Because what if I were to be a carrier and they'd be asymptomatic because I have the vaccine, that's not going to show symptoms on me, but I could spread it. So I don't understand the CDC's timing on anything. And
I understand their timing on it. You've got a presidential administration that's making us long for the days of Jimmy Carter, with your gas shortages, with a border crisis, with war in the Middle East and rising inflation. They had to get rid of the masks. There's no, like I said a week ago, the only science behind this is political science. A week ago, Fauci's out there saying you got to wear a mask even if you're vaccinated, and 3 days later the masks are gone. So it's a joke. It's a complete joke, and I think you might as well say it's over. All the hysteria is over. All the fear is over. We're going back to normal.
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle much more of Fauci, because he's shown himself to be a bit of a fraud. The way he's flipped on things. I mean, he was the guy that said, "Oh, you shouldn't wear a mask," and then all of a sudden you got to wear masks, and it just goes on and on. And you're right about these. What he allowed to do, the Biden administration, not he. I don't even know if he knows what happened. But for that Colonial Pipeline to pay $5 million ransom, I mean, I thought the government did not negotiate with terrorists. And I know it's a private company, but this would have been, this would have been like George W. Bush saying, if only the World Trade Center was hit by those planes. Well, it's a private matter. I mean, that's a private company that got hit. It has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
It's still another form of terrorism. This happens.
And also, we heard for months about how our election—I don't want to be that guy—but our elections are so secure, and there's no way that these voting machines can be hacked. But they can hack a pipeline.
A great point. You're right. How do they get to the pipeline? But they can't do anything with elections. No, right. It's horrible. And then the basically inaction and lack of taking any kind of a stand in this issue with Hamas and Israel. Israel is our friend. I mean, we should be supporting
Israel. Well, they are taking a stand. They're giving money to the Palestinians, and fueling this. So they are taking a side. They're taking the wrong side. Biden has been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision for the past 40 years. Remember when Obama ordered the SEALs to take out Bin Laden? He was against it. Biden was against it.
Well,
he was against Trump shutting down the travel from China a year ago. And even Fauci, who's wrong better than half the time, said that was a good decision.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's It's stunning, though, the decisions that he has made or not made and how the results come rolling. And look at what's happening at the border. I mean, everywhere. It's the only place you could find anything worse is the governor at his fishing opener, which he did not have, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, he was there on Friday. He was in Otter Tail County Friday with his photo ops, bought some donuts, and had lunch or something, had sat down with the Democrat mayor of Fergus Falls. And then I all of a sudden it came out, I was following on Twitter, I was kind of following the activity because I knew that the Rocks and Cows Brigade was going up there to peacefully protest the governor's presence in greater Minnesota because for the past year he hasn't gone out there, right? He's stayed in his little metro bubble.
Of course.
And so this was, an acquaintance of mine had published during the week, I have the agenda, this is where he's going to be, you know, during the weekend. So they were ready to do their protests, and banners were purchased, and I heard rumors of a plane being rented to fly said banner across the lake. And then all of a sudden I was monitoring the search, and this tweet came out. I think it was a NPR reporter. Somebody had shared it saying that according to a DNR spokesperson, that the governor had to return to St. Paul for legislative negotiations and was going to have to miss his fishing opener. And Kurt Dowd, the Republican minority leader, right away tweeted, quoted, you know, chimed in and said, all of our negotiations are via Zoom and we have nothing scheduled for today. This is suspicious.
That's funny.
And I had talked to Shane Mecklen, you know, who, you know, state rep from out here in the in greater Minnesota.
Yeah.
Told, we were on the phone, and a friend of mine, a longtime client of mine, we were on the phone on Friday, and we were trying to speculate what was going to happen over the weekend up in Otter Tail County. And he kind of said, here's what's going to happen. He's going to claim he's got to come back to St. Paul for negotiations. He's going to bail. And that's exactly what he did.
Oh, my God. And this is the governor. This is the guy that we're supposed to listen to. He's afraid of a
one
banner.
One Minnesota. He's afraid to leave. One Minnesota. He's afraid to go outside the metro and face protesters.
Yeah, that's just swell. All right. Now, I want to wrap up with this. Liz Cheney, you made a great point off the air about, now there are people who think it's wrong that she's been removed from her position of power in the Republican Party, but you put a take on it that actually it does make sense because she's hell-bent on going after Trump. Look around, lady, there's a lot going on with the Democrats and you're just leaving the Biden administration alone. You know what, if you want to be a Democrat, then switch parties.
Well, and I don't think it's that. I think it, and I've heard some of her statements. I think that, I mean, I think she's well intentioned. She thinks that she can bring these, the Bush, McCain, Romney voters back that left during the Trump era. To which I say, you didn't win when McCain and Romney were running. You lost. But here's the thing. You know, everyone wants to make, the media wants to make this out about, you know, Trump. And the Democrats want to make it out about Trump, but it's not, because, you know, in the days after January 6th, there was a vote on her leadership or her position, and she survived, and she had the support of Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and the rest and the other, you know, the other leaders. The problem is, like you just said, Bob, this administration has been horrible. I mean, there's gas shortages, there's a border crisis, there's war in the Middle East. There's rising inflation, and she's choosing to continue to engage in a war of words against a former Republican president. It's like, you've got plenty of fodder to go after the other side. You need to be worrying about taking back majority next year, not fighting with Trump. And so she has every right to do that, but she doesn't. But that's not what leader, when you're in leadership, you got to keep your eye on the prize. And, you know, we've had, and, you know, Elise Stefanik, the one that replaced her, she's, you know, so she's more moderate than Liz Cheney. Well, being moderate doesn't mean you're less partisan. You know, back in the day when they were running, Arnie Carlson and Jim Ramstad, you couldn't get two better partisan campaigners on the stump for your side.
Yeah.
And they were supposedly moderates. I remember campaigning alongside of them. I remember Arnie did a bus tour one year when '96 when Gil Gutnick was in trouble down in the first district and Rudy Boschus was trying to win re-election, and I tagged along, and Arnie was vicious. It was great. But, you know, doesn't mean because you're moderate that you're not that you're not supporting your party. And that's what, when you're in leadership, that's what you got to do. You got to be focused on, they got to be focused on taking back majority next year and putting a stop to this nonsense that's going on with the Democrats in control of everything.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Jeff, thanks so much. Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. Take a quick break. The BS Show. Be right back. We'll talk a little Twins.